Welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD, where successful San Diego leaders share their stories of leading beyond profit and are using the influence of business to positively change the companies and communities we all work and live in. I'm your host, Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership. We unlock the power of organizations and teams to overcome tough challenges, seize new opportunities, and turn bold ideas into real-world results through strategic planning, retreats, and team workshops. We want to thank our collaborative community of business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Cause San Diego, and Be Local. We're all focused on impacting our community of San Diego through the work they do as business leaders. Welcome to the show. Today's conversation is a special one for me. I'm joined by two incredible leaders and partners from one of my favorite clients, Lauren Gallagher and Lori Bolander. Welcome to the show.
Aw, thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff. Happy to be here.
For over 70 years, the firm Gallagher, Bolander, and Smedley has been serving San Diego families through estate planning, trust, and probate law, guiding people through some of the most important and personal decisions of their lives. And just to be clear, you don't look a day over 35, which is pretty impressive for 70 years of service. What I'm most excited about today is going beyond the legal work and into what really makes this partnership and firm work. How you built trust with each other, how you've shaped your culture, and how you continue to evolve a successful practice in the world that's changing fast. Are you ready to dive in?
We're ready.
Yep.
Just for a little more context, maybe talk about the business. What is it you guys do?
So we do trusts and estates, which includes estate planning, probates, trust administration. So if somebody becomes a trustee of their friends or family members' trust, we kind of walk them through the process of administering that trust. A lot of people, I don't think, know what a trust administration is, so I always feel like I have to explain that. Well, that's pretty much what all of our attorneys and all of our staff are devoted to, are those main three things.
That's the focus.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We do the planning and we do the administrations.
So how did this come to be? What's your backstory? Why the hell did you become a lawyer?
You should start on that.
I became a lawyer because then boyfriend, now husband, went to law school. And I said, well, I don't have anything better to do. I'll go to law school too.
Did you want to keep up?
Didn't really know what I was getting into. Trust and estates was really the only class. I knew I didn't want to be a litigator. Trust and estates was the class that really spoke to me. It really intrigued me. And that was my first job while I was in law school. I worked for the firm that I'm now a partner of. And I have done it ever since, and I love it.
So you've been here forever.
I've been here forever.
Nice. Yeah. It's a pretty tough road to hoe to become a lawyer, though. So just to kind of, oh, my husband's doing it, I think I'll do this. My boyfriend's doing it, I think I'll do
it
this.
It was horrible. First day of class, I got called on and was not prepared at all.
It's like I went to engineering school. I go, it's the worst 4 years of my life.
Yeah.
Yes. Without a doubt.
Some people loved it. I didn't love it, but I love my career and I love what I do. So it was worth it.
We'll get into why you love it today, right?
Yeah.
It's not about the law part.
Yeah.
How about you, Lori?
Well, I was actually still in college when I started going down this path. I had to do an internship my senior year, and we had these huge binders full of internships, and I was like, I don't like any of these. And my dad happened to be doing his estate plan at the time and said, I think that you might like estate planning. And because I was going to be graduating with a political science degree and wasn't sure exactly what I was going to do with that.
He's worried about you being unemployed.
Yeah. So I wrote letters to attorneys in the phone book and said, I want to do an internship with you. And somebody in the office that our firm shared, an attorney there, she wasn't part of the firm, but an attorney there responded and said, yeah, come work for me. Her name was Virginia, and she was in the same office as Lauren and her firm. So Lauren and I go way back because we were both working in that building.
And overlapped in law school.
Yeah, and overlapped in law school a little bit at the same law school. So I started working for Virginia, just, you know, doing intern type things, and then kind of became her assistant and got my notary license or commission and sitting in on meetings. And, you know, by the time I was mid law school, I was sitting in class drafting trusts. So, and then went into the field and been doing it ever since.
So you were running a side gig while you were in school?
Yeah. Yeah. Which you were not supposed to do.
It's against the law.
They made you sign a contract saying you weren't going to work.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what happened there?
I breached that contract.
You heard it here first, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. But you also have another kind of twist too. One of the other things that you guys do is support adoptions too, right? Is that correct?
I had done adoptions for many years because I am adopted. I haven't been doing as many lately just because we've been so busy with trust and estates work, but it is something that I enjoy doing. Every now and then I'll do one. I've mostly step-parent adoptions. And then there's the adoptions to confirm parentage, which is when, you know, a gay couple has a baby by insemination and they're both listed on the birth certificate, but you have to get a court order like saying that they're the parent as well in case they move to a jurisdiction where it's not recognized. Like I had one couple recently that they had property in Mexico and they were worried that something might happen there.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I always think it's interesting the backstory of why people get into what doing what they're doing. And usually there's something that's happened that said, oh, maybe I can go fix this. Right. So, yeah.
Well, and I like the trust and estates area of the law because people say, well, do you like it? And I'm like, yeah, I like it. And I like it because I feel like we're helping people. I feel like there's a lot of areas of the law that, you know, lawyers aren't really helping, you know.
You don't have the greatest rep in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
As you say, you're an attorney.
It's just this machine that churns and eats fees and what result, you know, do they really get for people? Who knows? I mean, there's obviously plenty of different areas of the law that are great and reputable and do wonderful things for people. But there's a lot that just doesn't seem like it's all that helpful to society.
Yeah. What we do is so personal, right. Personal on every level, on, you know, their family dynamics and their well-being, their health, their financial management. So we really have close relationships with our clients. And I think I can speak for both of us. That's what we love. Mm-hmm. You know, it's challenging. It's not easy a lot of the time, and it could be difficult and frustrating, but that's the part that I really like.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're truly in the relationship business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't really get that until one day I was facilitating some work with you guys. And then it came up that, you know, we're in the death business over mm-hmm. here. So you're either preparing for it or now it's happened and now we have to go about executing some things.
And when I just went through my first assisted suicide as well.
That's a thing
with
now,
a
right?
Client. Yeah, with a client. Yeah, I did not do it, but
you weren't in charge. She had to do it on her own per the laws.
Yes, yep. Yes. She did it on her own and it's what she wanted. And it was kind of neat because after she passed away, I went over to her house and was helping her trustee clean up paperwork and things like that. And we found kind of a journal of hers and she had written, you know, I'm in control of my own destiny. I get to decide when I die. Like that was very much part of it for her is that, you know, she was taking control of the situation in her life, which, you know, she had cancer and frontal temporal lobe dementia. So
yeah, what do you want the back end to look like?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Maybe some vegetable can't move or whatever.
And that's
sucking
exactly,
up all kinds of resources.
You know, it's exact death with dignity that she was able to get for herself.
And that's exactly why she did it, because her trustee took her to kind of the memory care unit and she was like, nope, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a friend of mine got involved in that where someone, a friend of his had come and said, I didn't really know him that well, Jeff, but all of a sudden he comes to me and says, hey, I'm planning on doing this. And can you participate, you know, support and facilitate and speak at my funeral and all this? And the guy said, well, I guess. All right. But he was also describing that he wanted to be at either, he knew this guy through surfing. So they went to the beach, right? And he had a van set up. So like family came by, friends came by, had this whole big thing. And then he just think you have to be able to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. He said, then the problem was you had to wait 2 hours for the coroner to show up to say, oh, he's passed. So there's some logistics that come with it.
Yeah, right. There are.
But he was saying, Jeff, there's a business opportunity in this. I really wanted to get into that kind of business, right? Because trying to do this and how do you manage that whole thing and make it come off well would be very important.
Well, and I think in the future, it's going to be a big business because I know people like that in our generation, you know, we don't want to live with dementia or Alzheimer's. And so I think the law might even evolve a little bit with that.
Yeah, I hope so, because it is a little restrictive on how you can take advantage of the laws. But I think many people would want to, you know, I think there's religion and things like that, that are a barrier for some people to do it. But I think people can live a long time. I have many, many 90 something year old clients. I have a few 100+ year old clients. Not all, some are remarkably fit and healthy. Some don't even wear reading glasses, which is wild. But some, you know, have no quality of life at all. So, you know, I think it's, as the population ages, I think it's going to become more mainstream.
Yeah.
You know? I think there's a stigma. Yeah. There's been a stigma. And I'd like to dispel, you know, I'd like that to go away, because it is, like you said, Lori, with your client, that control, you know, I want to do it my way and
I don't want to suffer.
Yeah.
My dad always said, they can keep you alive. They just can't keep you alive. Well,
they can keep you alive literally forever. Yeah. I think
I had a client say to me a couple of weeks ago, he's like, found out that dying's really hard. Like, he's like, I'm not afraid to die. I'm afraid to get through the process, you know?
Oh, well, okay.
Yes, we are in the business of death.
Yes, we are.
We'll have the mortuary guys in here tomorrow.
Yeah.
So how did you guys come together? How did this partnership come to be?
Oh my gosh, we have such a history of our paths crossing throughout many, many years, not just at law school and work, but in the town that we lived in together. And then a few years ago, my then partner wanted to retire. Lori knows everybody, and he had been wanting to retire, but kind of, you know, talked about it for a long time, but didn't want to do it. But he said, I really want to do it. I'm ready. Do you want to just take my partnership over, Lauren? And I said, no, because I just can't manage all of it. So I emailed Lori, who was at her own firm at the time, and said, hey, Lori, do you know anybody who might want to take over Dave's practice? And like immediately she said, I might be interested.
Yeah.
And that was how it began. And within a very short period of time, it all was finalized. And Lori and Dave overlapped for about six months or so. Yeah. And so we've been partners since 2019.
Yeah, so Gosh, I know, years.
It's so crazy, Lori.
Tick, tick, tick.
I know.
That's nuts.
So we've evolved together, and Lori really brought modernization to the firm and some, you know, growth and things like that. So it's been a really great partnership.
Yes, it has. Yeah. A lot of ups and downs and ins and outs and fun things. But yeah, and it's funny too, because this partnership, you know, was started by Franco and a man, and there was men partners all through the years until Lauren joined. And now it's mostly female.
Mostly?
Yeah. Got a couple token males.
Yeah, we have a token. Yeah.
They come and go. You let them in and out once in a while. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So, but as she mentioned, the modernization, there was, you know, paper files going back to the beginning of time.
Yeah.
That we
50s.
Yeah.
50s.
Yeah. So we got all those scanned and got rid of the storage unit and all
70
that.
Years of stuff. Right?
Yeah.
That's crazy when you think about it.
We still have a whole pile of original wills because attorneys used to keep them. And I'm sure these people are long deceased, but we can't find them.
And you hope so anyways.
Well, and the law.
Somebody's 130 out here floating around.
Right. Well, and the law is that you have to keep original estate planning documents forever.
Okay.
Or you can turn them into the state bar, who does not want them.
They will reject them.
They will not take them.
But keep them. Yes, that's the law.
Yes. Yep.
And we always have some crazy laws. So to me, partners are always kind of interesting. I think it's so important. Kind of like you said, I don't think I can do this whole thing myself, right? Mm-hmm. So that's great on your part to kind of recognize me. I got some skills and maybe some things are kind of missing. And when you can get two people together, have nice matching skills, I mean, that's kind of the key, right? I mean, that's everyone comes in here that has partnerships. It's always like it's working because we find the complementary pieces here. So I know you guys are like best buds. You're getting ready to take a trip over to Egypt here next week, right? So blasting out of town, all kinds of good times.
Can't wait.
So how do you manage through some of the challenges? Because, you know, partners are like a marriage. And so it's not always kumbaya. So, you know, this is a business leaders podcast. So there's other leaders out there that are partners and they may be having some struggles at the moment. So what's the key to success here?
Well, I think you just have to first recognize there is going to be disagreements. There's going to be frustration. Communication, I think, is really key. We don't always see eye to eye, but we usually do a good job of communicating and talking it out and sometimes compromising or, you know, just listening to the other person and coming up with an agreed upon next step, whatever that is. You know, like I said, it's not always easy. It's sometimes frustrating, especially when we're trying to do our job. Yeah. We're trying to do our actual job and run a business and be employers and, you know, manage all of that. So
there's a lot of stress.
There's a lot of different moving parts.
Yeah. And one of the things we don't have a lot of is time. And so sometimes these things need to be talked out and just getting that time to actually do it is difficult.
Like we know the conversation to have, but we don't always have the time but we've done a good job of carving out time. We actually have set days now where all we do is talk about management and business administration and all the things that go into running the business, not necessarily the lawyering part, which has been critical. And also with your help and leadership, Jeff.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been fun working with the two of you. Yeah. Right? And we have been able to establish some of those things like the management meetings and those kinds of things. And I know every time I come in about once a month and we sit down and I always just love how we sit down. It's like, guess what's going on this month, right?
I know. Every month we're like throwing you a new curveball.
Here's last month's plan. But let me tell
you. Totally going in a different direction this now, Jeff.
Tell you what, where we're going today.
Well, and I think that's a good place to say that you do have to be flexible. You do have to bob and weave as new situations come up, or you could have the perfect plan and we're all in on this plan. And then tomorrow that plan has to change. And boy, is that hard sometimes. It's discouraging and it's frustrating. It's time consuming, but it's necessary. It's just a necessary part of running a business.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to be able to drop it and move on to the next. But bringing somebody like you in is helpful too, because you've got the experience in, you know, leading these kinds of discussions that we have to have. And I know we both meet with you one-on-one, so you kind of get each of our take on things, and then we come together and kind of discuss those things. And that's really helpful for people as well, I think, to have somebody like you to help lead that and look at the bigger picture. Because that's the other thing too about, like, you know, running a law firm. Like, they don't teach you that in law school.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. There are lawyers that are great business people, but horrible lawyers. And then there are lawyers that are horrible business people, but great lawyers. And you can't be running your own firm if you're a horrible business person. But we're not taught that. So, you know, having some tools, and we're not like in a bubble making these decisions going, well, I think that's a good idea. Cause you know, I mean, sometimes I'm just like, well, I don't know.
I think you bring perspective. You know, we get into our little bubbles and our kind of myopic moments, and it's somebody,
I'm not living it.
Yeah, bringing you in, you have clarity. You can kind of look from a outsider looking in and say, well, why are you doing it this way? And I was like, oh, I don't know. Why are we doing it this way? I don't know.
How did we get in this hole over here?
Yeah, exactly.
Stop digging right now.
Totally.
Well, I think that's one of the challenges from lots of people when they start businesses. They're good at whatever that skill or that gift is, or that service they provide. But then there's this whole other thing of business. And it is a whole other thing. It
really is.
And if you don't have a natural bent for that, it can be a challenge for sure. Yeah, no question about it. One of the things that's been fun working with you guys is trying to create the culture. Because as we talked earlier, this is about relationships and the feel that you want to have. So if you described someone walking through the door, a customer, like or a client, what would you like them to feel? I mean, what is your desire?
Welcomed.
Yeah, for sure.
Welcomed and cared for, because almost every person, no matter what they're there for, really needs a hand, really needs like their hand held, whether it's the planning for their own demise and the future for their family, or they've lost somebody and they need their hand held because we're walking them through that phase of the, you know, their loved one's administration. And what I think is becoming more and more of a kind of part of our job is this kind of middle ground, where maybe the client who set up the estate plan is still alive, but their loved ones now need to step in and start helping them. So it's like an administration, but while the person is still alive. And that takes a lot of kid gloves, because you have maybe a compromised elderly person with a loved one or friend who is trying to do the best they can to help this person and not really knowing what they're doing.
Right.
So it's really just kind of that hand holding on every level.
Yeah. And in most people that are stepping into this role have never done it before. And a lot of people have never needed to have an attorney in their life before. So they don't even understand.
Which is the good news, actually.
Yeah.
Right. Totally. And, you know, so they're stepping into this whole new world, and there's like so many things, especially when you have the elderly person that's alive, because there's so many things you have to know about the medical system and banks and just like all these things that you don't know about if you haven't done it before.
I know that as my folks got older and started having health issues and I had to start to intervene. Yeah, it's quite the experience.
Really, it is.
Navigating all that good stuff. Kudos to my parents. They did a great job of teeing things up. And here's the book, Jeff. Just call this person, call this person, call this person.
That helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were prepared and made my life easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what, you know, on the planning side, we're trying to do to, you know, tee things up to make things easier for that time period.
So clearly we're in the people business here. Also, all your employees and all that are all in the people business. And we've kind of spent a lot of time working on culture, right? So we've got some, I think, family respect, ownership, appreciation, communication. Maybe talk a little bit about the employees and the culture and what we're trying to create there.
Yeah.
Well, and then we'll talk about the challenges. They're looking at each other right now because we're going through some stuff.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to create, you know, in our firm historically, you know, when I started at this firm, it was, you know, myself and Lauren and a part-time receptionist. And then I brought over our paralegal, Jackie. And so it was kind of small. And this area of the law has exploded. Everybody in our field is slammed.
Boomers got old.
Yeah. I mean, I went to an event a few weeks ago with, you know, trust and estates attorneys, and everybody just looks haggard. Everybody's so tired and so overwhelmed.
That's the good news and the bad news.
Yeah. So this, you know, we kind of looked at this and said, well, we can either grow and accommodate, you know, this or send business away. And so we decided to kind of grow with it. But that's had a lot of challenges. You know, we've added some really great people to our team, but we have to follow like everything, all the employment laws and everything by the rule, you know, where we used to be a little more lenient with time off and things, you know, like that. Or if somebody was going on vacation, we're like, oh, let's throw them a few hundred bucks or something, you know, and we just can't do it because we have too many employees now. Mm-hmm. And we have to kind of do it by the book. And that's been hard, I think, for some of our original employees that were started with us to kind of move into these directions where we're a little more structured and strict about, you know, HR type stuff. And because we've passed the threshold of five employees, all these other HR things apply that are pretty annoying. Mm-hmm. So, and then we have to have people to manage the people. So it's just kind of exploded. Right. But we've tried to create a culture where we all care about each other and where we all care about our clients. And, you know, some of our employees are really great dealing with our clients and just, you know, really patient, because a lot of patience with because people are looking at legal documents and doing things they've never done before. And sometimes I have to explain things to them many times, and it can be frustrating, you know, like, I don't know why you don't get this, but I'll explain it again.
One more time.
So yeah, but that's our job, right? You know, and some of our employees are just really wonderful with that. So yeah, we're trying to create a culture at our office where as we succeed, as the firm succeeds, you know, we're able to, you know,
lift everyone up,
you know, hey, everybody gets to make more money now because now we're making more money and do more fun things. Like we did a collaboration day out of the office. And
all right, talk about what that is.
Yeah. So
I think that's kind of a unique idea.
Yeah.
Because you got remote employees, right? So some folks never come into the office, and you wanted to say, for our culture, we want people to know each other and communicate. And so
there's employees that would never set eyes on each other unless we had a day like that. So we've created these collaboration days. They're once a month, you know, everybody, all hands on deck, everybody, even remote, 100% remote employees come in that day. So we try to have, and usually you're there, Jeff, helping facilitate.
Making us cry.
My goal is
making us cry in a good way, but try to kind of bring ourselves together and get to know each other a little bit better. Remember that we're all on the same team. We have a common goal. Get to know each other a little personally. I would say it's sometimes challenging. Sometimes I walk away from those feeling really good, and sometimes I feel a little frustrated, but I think it is important to continue it. I think it's there for a reason, and I think the employees mostly like it.
Yeah, I think they do, especially some of the remote people. And I think it helps with inter-office communication because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of these people are only communicating via email. And you know how that can be sometimes, yes. you know, tone.
Miss tone.
Yeah. And some people are better with email than others as far as that goes. Some people are just very blunt and they just say it the way it is. Mm-hmm. And then other people get offended. And if you know that person and you've met them,
you wouldn't think it was.
I can see Lori saying that.
Yeah, exactly.
With a smile.
Right. So I think it helps on that end, too, where it's like, oh, OK, I know this person and I like this person. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to read something into this email, you know. So it helps on that level, too. But that collaboration day, we just come together. Usually we have some internal meetings. And we took it totally off site a couple months ago. And just did fun things, which was nice. We did breakfast. You came and talked to everybody. And then we did a painting with wine in the afternoon and then like went to happy hour. So it was like no
100%
work.
100%. Just we mm-hmm. want you people to get together, get to know each other, have some fun. And
no work at all. So we'll do that, you know, once a quarter or so, is just have a fun day. A lot of times we have some internal meetings, like if there's a process that's not working, it's like, OK, you guys get together and figure that out. And we have meetings with people.
Sometimes there's training. Sometimes there's required, you know, HR things that have to be dealt with. So it's a good day to kind of take care of those kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right. And then we started the partner project, which hasn't, you know, really been smooth, fully implemented. But it's just kind of pairing up two people within the firm on a rotating basis to say, okay, you guys kind of get together and get to know each other better. So everybody gets kind of a one-on-one with everybody. And we've kind of turned it into, at the beginning of the day on collaboration day, we just like partner up with your partner and take a walk. We're right by the beach. So it's kind of a nice little walk. And you just talk to the person you're partnered up with, learn more about them. And if you already know them and have known them a long time, just some one-on-one FaceTime. Because again, we're so busy. And, you know, with the remote employees and people working from home, you know, I don't see even the people that aren't remote. I don't mm-hmm. see them that often.
Well, I'm in the office every day, and even the people I see every day, it's like two shifts sometimes because I'm buzzing in and out of meetings and on the phone, and, you know, it's a high-bye situation. So it is a day where we can kind of actually have conversations and hopefully laugh.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's so important. I mean, even the last podcast, I was talking about the idea of teams. You know, they got the whole idea of you form the team and then there's a storming where everybody's like arguing about how it's going to work. Mm-hmm. And then with a little bit of luck, you start to actually perform and get something done. Right. And I like to say people just kind of flip flopping back and forth between performing and storming. That's kind of where people exist. But ideally, you get the high performing, right? High performing is like, that's like unbelievable. That's like Super Bowl kind of teams. And the difference is, it's like people care about the bigger picture. They care about each other, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to do something to facilitate that.
Yeah.
I mean, either the goal's got to be that compelling that we're all in lined up or relationship wise, you know, it just comes together.
Well, and I think some of the reality of being a business owner is that as much as you want that to happen and you do what you can to facilitate that, it might not happen with every employee. And that's a challenge.
Yep.
That's a challenge.
And the whole team kind of, quite honestly, you hire a new person, that's a whole new dynamic in the team. And if they don't quite fit or whatever, or someone that's been there for a while, all of a sudden starts to go a little sideways for whatever the good reason.
So it's an ongoing challenge. Building the trust, like, oh, you're new. I don't know if I can rely on you to do the things I need you to do to help me do my job. And so,
which is even the existing team embracing people that come into the team, right? Well, we got this little club going here, so I'm not sure about you, right? We got to keep you at arm's distance, right? Yeah. So yes, people, that certainly makes it a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So when you look at your kind of day job, how much is spent actually being lawyers and doing, you know, kind of what you bill for versus running the business? What does that look like for the two of you?
What it actually looks like or what it should look like?
Lately, I would say probably since November, it's been a lot of running the business. We had some new positions that we had to fill. So I spent a lot of time kind of prepping for those November and December. And it was like, all right, we got this all set up. We're ready to roll. And then we had a lot of hurdles and a lot of falling down, and we're still kind of getting back.
Y'all were sick for like 3 weeks straight or something.
Everybody was sick. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Everyone was sick at the beginning of the year. Yeah. So, you know, I would say there's probably at this point a solid day to day and a half per week that is spent just running the business right now.
Mm. Yeah. Not really ideal, but it's required at the moment.
So taking the moment.
And, you know, I think we understand that and we are willing to invest that time and energy, but it's frustrating sometimes, you know, because we really do want to do our job, and we'll get back to that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We're doing some stuff.
Yeah.
We'll figure this out. Yeah. It's a puzzle, but we got it.
You know, and it's all about making sure the clients are taken care of and feel really, taken care of. And that gets hard too when we're so short on time. And so we really got to have a team also that's helping us convey that. And the other thing I was thinking earlier too, is that might be unique about our firm, and is that a lot of our clients, I saw one of my clients in the bank this morning.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Did you really?
That's so funny.
Yeah. And, you know, they're
Well, you do kind of have a hub there. Ocean Beach, right? You're kind of in your own community.
And like I'm on, you know, I help with the street fair, which we help sponsor every year. And, you know, I'm on this board. Half the board are my clients, and they were David Smedley's clients before me. So, and some of my clients went to high school with David Smedley, and
well, and we work and live in the same community.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, our children go to school with our clients' children. And
were you guys originally from Ocean Beach?
No, neither of us.
No.
But I
found your way there,
in my 20s and never left.
What a great community though.
So yes, we have a lot of people that we rub elbows with on every level. And that also really can make or break your business. You know, we need to be kind, generous people in our regular lives too, so that all of the messaging is consistent, because that's really why we're in the business we are. We're caring, generous people. And I think it shows with, you know, the things that we do for our community.
When we talk about San Diego as a whole being kind of a small community, you're not that far from any single person, but you start to get into the community, like about Ocean Beach or a PB or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like you're operating in that little ecosystem. Yeah. It's like everybody knows each other.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's lovely.
So a little insight for folks, right? Little expertise, things to think about. So if I'm about to go do my will, my trust or whatever, like what should I think of? What's the pitfalls? What should I be looking for? If I'm going to hire some folks, what should I be looking for from that perspective?
Well, first of all, do your planning.
Do it. Don't wait until you're dead.
Don't keep thinking about doing it. Go do it.
Yeah. And people
that's rule number one.
And a lot of people that I meet and I say, oh, I do estate planning, like, oh, well, I don't have anything. And I steal this line from a fiduciary that I know, but she says, if you have a body, you need a plan. Mm-hmm. And it's totally true, because your healthcare directive is extremely important. Yep. You can end up in court in a conservatorship if you end up in the hospital. And hospitals will bring a conservatorship over you if you don't have anybody appointed.
And just figuring out your final plan.
What you want it to look like.
If you don't have a document that says this person is in charge of arranging for my cremation or funeral, that could delay things sometimes months because there's nobody appointed. So then they go to the next of kin. Well, not everybody has an immediate next of kin. Yeah. Sometimes they're cousins or, you know, distant relatives that they've never even spoken with.
Or surprise to the next of kin. Yeah. Guess what? Uncle Bob has passed away. Yes. You're now in charge.
It could be horrible. Yeah. It could be horrible.
Yeah. I have a really bad story about that where this man died. And that's exactly what happened. And he sat on ice in the morgue for like 3 months. Mm-hmm. It would like kind of like jolt me sometimes at night. I'd be like, oh my gosh, he's still in there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not good. So think
healthcare director. Yeah.
Yeah. So think about, forget about the money for a moment. Right, just think about your healthcare, what's going to happen, who's going to take care of what.
Because I always hear that, like, well, I don't have anything. Mm-hmm. Or the bank owns my house. That's the other thing I hear. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. You own your house. The bank has a lien on it. And so if you die, no matter how much you owe on that house, it goes to probate. There's very few exceptions to that rule. So if you own real estate in California, you need a trust, essentially. And then bank accounts can trigger probates. And I don't think people understand that, at least most people. I just had to opening a probate for my poor 80-year-old client whose son died. And he had a bank account that was over the probate amount. And here we are having to go to probate. And it's not fun. Well, probate is like a year and a half minimum now.
Well, I think there's a misconception too. Like, well, I'll just name beneficiaries on all my assets. And in theory, that would work. Most of the time doesn't have backup plans. No contingency plans there. But what the difficulty is there's no common administration when you pass away or when there needs to be somebody who pays your bills, files your tax returns. One person, usually the responsible one, you know, you have 5 or 6 different beneficiaries. Maybe they don't even know each other. And one responsible person says, okay, I guess I better make sure so-and-so's tax returns are filed or the cremation's paid. Mm-hmm. And then that person has to go and ask the other 4 or 5 people to cough up some money. So that is not a good plan. People kind of want that to be a plan. It's not a good plan. So having this estate plan, which is just a set of documents, you know, it sounds really scary, but an estate plan is just a set of documents that put into writing what all your wishes are and how it's going to go smoothly.
Yeah. People for some reason have this conception that it's going to be this really difficult thing, you know, and I'm like, no, it's just like, who do you want to be in charge?
Yeah. who do you want your stuff to go to?
Who's the alternate to that person and where you want things distributed? Those are the main components of your estate plan, you know?
Yeah. I think we both get that a lot. Like, wow, this was so much easier than I thought it was going
to
be. Yeah.
They think that they're going to have to bring in like 30 years of records for us or something. And I'm like, no, I don't need any of that. You know,
like an IRS audit or something.
Yeah, I don't even need the deed to your house. We're going to pull it from.
We got it.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it really boils down to that. There's a lot more on our end. There's all these documents. And again, explaining to people how all the different documents work and what each person would do, I think is important. They never remember, but we explain it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm a little nervous. I got a good friend of mine who's, I guess, 85 now, and he's asked me to be his trustee back some time ago, years ago. I have no idea what's going to happen when it actually happens because it's all very secret. So,
interesting.
Yeah, the key is hidden behind the thing. It's like,
who to call.
Yeah, you can call us. But something I tell my clients all the time is like, talk about these things. And because, you know, in our culture, we just don't talk about death, you know,
and that's why most people probably don't do it. We just want to have the conversation. Somebody, you think you're going to live forever, but that's not the case.
And guess what? It's happening to all of us. Yeah. That's the end for us all.
Guarantee. Yeah.
It's a 1 year in death and taxes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's financial part is like, there's a lot of messy stuff we can figure out. We're like detectives, right? We make our clients detectives. We can figure a lot of stuff out. But when somebody is at the end of their life, there's no way to be a detective to know what they would have wanted, right? There's no way to know, are you just 100% in on pain relief, even if it means it's going to be a quicker demise? Or do you really want all the experimental stuff and try, you know, those are the conversations, in my opinion, that are the most important with the people that you have named to make those decisions for you if you can't make them for yourself. But Yeah, just like Lori said, our culture really shies away from that. We just don't even want to acknowledge death. We don't want to talk about death. It's becoming a bigger thing.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are afraid to approach their parents about it because mm-hmm. they're like, well, I don't want them to think that I like want their money.
Right.
And it's not about that. It's about, hey, if something happens to you, I need to know all these mm-hmm. things. I need to know where your money is and, you know, how things are set up. And luckily, my father's finally having those conversations. My parents are turning 80 this year. And he's finally like, well, I should probably tell you some of this stuff. I'm like, yes, you mm-hmm. should. Mm-hmm. And especially because he handles all the financial things, and my mom, I'll probably have to step in just if something happens to him. So
it's like with my parents, my dad had everything super organized, right? I mean, kudos to him. Great job. But the reason I kept getting into it is because my mom kept going, we don't have any money. Right. We're he's going to die and I'm going to be out in the street or whatever. And then we'd have the whole conversation. Mom, no, you're okay.
You got money.
Yeah. Here's the whole thing. It's all right here in the book. You can see everything in here. And then, you know, 2 months later, I'm going to die. I don't have any money. Like, it's like, okay, mom.
Yeah, that's a common theme.
Yep. Yep. I have a client like that, and she's had a fiduciary for years, and she's always, am I okay? Am I okay? She's got like $6 million. Like, mm-hmm. I think you're okay.
You might make it. You might make it.
Yeah.
Hard to say. Okay. Hard to say. But.
And every time I go and show her accounting, it's more money. You know,
it's funny.
So what are you excited about here in the future? Anything from being here in San Diego and what's going on? What are you excited about?
Right now, I'm excited to go on vacation.
Me too.
Excited to get out of here?
Yes. Yeah. I feel like it's a well-deserved vacation. Yes, and I'm going to be off the grid. So I'm really a little nervous, but very excited.
Wow.
Yeah.
Totally? This is like...
I'm going to be off the
grid. How about you, Lori?
I don't know.
Lori will be.
I don't think I'm going to be.
Can't do it?
No. Nope.
You sure?
Yep.
All right.
But...
As your business consultant, you should go off the grid.
I know.
How's that sound?
But future, you know, long-term, I'm looking forward to... having a cohesive team where we can provide great service for our clients and continuing to serve people. You know, when I worked with you, Jeff, in a different kind of coaching program, it was about finding the why and what we do and why we're doing what we do. And ultimately that led me to, well, I do this because, you know, I'm helping people. But in some of these situations, if I can get the family through the administration without fighting, you know, mm-hmm. then that's good for our society and our community, right? We have people that, you know, we don't have families breaking apart and things like that. So hopefully implementing some of that through my work in the future.
Awesome. Going to wrap this up, put a little bow on it. I like to always finish it with, what's the one big idea? What do you want people to remember? Whoever would like to go first.
Do your plan.
Yeah.
Do your plan.
Do your planning. When in doubt, just contact us. That's the thing I tell people all the time. We're here to be a resource. Even mm-hmm. if you don't have a question about estate planning, you have a landlord-tenant question or something, contact us and we'll spin you off to the right person.
Yep. We know all the people. Yeah. That's one thing about what we do is we touch all those things because all those things are involved in people's lives.
Right. So work the plan, get the plan and then work the plan and get some help.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, ladies, I appreciate you coming in. I always enjoy working with you. This is amazing. I know how busy you are and trying to get out of town as well, but came in here and did the podcast today. So thank you for coming in here and sharing with us all.
Thank you for having us. It's been fun.
We are happy to have you in our lives as well.
Yes.
You let a mail in. All right. Well, that's our show for today. And if you enjoyed it, please subscribe, comment, and most importantly, share the podcast with a friend. Again, special thanks to our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Be Local, and Cause San Diego. We're all using the influence of business to positively impact our very own community of San Diego. I'm Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership saying, until next time, go do what you do. Go do what you do best. We're all counting on you.